Good morning to you. I'm Veronica Rickert. I'm in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to be keeping you company. This hour we'll be talking with Charles Ferguson, whose documentary No End in Sight has been nominated for an Academy Award and named one of Time Magazine's top 10 films of 2007 by Richard Corliss. It won the Sundance Special Jury Prize for Documentaries. His topic is a level-headed look at the war in Iraq and the decisions that led to its rising insurgency, sectarian violence, and civil unrest. We'll be hearing from Charles Ferguson in just a little while. Until then, we're taking care of some business here at Wisconsin Public Radio for the winter membership drive. We're about mid-drive now and turning to you to help us pay the bills and maintain the great programs that you hear every single day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Our goal this hour is $6,000, and as a little added incentive, when you pledge at $180, we'll send you out a copy of No End in Sight along with our member benefit card. It all starts with your call to 1-800-383-9772, 1-800-383-9772, and I'm joined in the studio this morning by Michael Leland, Wisconsin Public Radio's news director.
Good morning, Veronica, and
good morning.
Thank you, all of you, for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and thank you so much for listening to this program. A lot to talk about, and we'll hear a lot more about that documentary over the next 40 minutes or so, but before we get to that, why don't you take care of some business? And that is supporting a service that you use every day. Support a station that maybe you rely on to keep you informed about the world around you. Maybe you spend the day with us. You may be one of those people who spends a lot of time on the road because of your job, and you take Wisconsin Public Radio along from place to place throughout the day. We're happy to give you that information. We're happy to provide that companionship for you and that better understanding of the world around you, but know that it's your dollars that make it possible. You and thousands of others have made a decision to support this service. Thank you so much if you're among them. If you're not yet, or if it's time to renew your pledge of support, we'd love to hear from you now at 800-383-9772, online at WPR.org.
It seems that maybe now more than ever before, we're interested in becoming a world citizen, informed in what's going on in the world and participating in what's going on in the world as well. And just this week on this program, we've talked about the war in Iraq. We've talked about terrorism. We talked yesterday with former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright and really helped sort of encourage the prospect of becoming a global citizen. It's something you care about, and that's why you call and why you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. It really is something that's important in the world and important in your life, and we hope that this is the time that you'll go ahead and support that because you care and because you're interested in becoming a world citizen, because you care about Wisconsin Public Radio. This is a great hour to call at 1-800-383-9772. We'd be happy to hear from your call, and maybe if you'd like to pledge at the $180 level, we'd be happy to send you out the DVD No End in Sight.
It is an easy process to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio or renew your pledge of support. You call us at 800-383-9772, talk to the volunteer, leave some information, which, by the way, stays with us. We don't share your personal information with anyone. But you'll be done in time to get back and listen to Veronica's interview with Charles Ferguson and talk about the documentary No End in Sight. You can pledge online and take care of that quickly there as well, but know that you're doing your part for a service that thousands of you say that you depend on for a better understanding of whether it's world events or whether it's domestic politics. Maybe you're learning about the various positions of the presidential candidates, and that's going to help you determine whom to vote for, possibly in the Tuesday primary here in Wisconsin and possibly in the November general election. We are committed to giving you that kind of information and making you better informed citizens, but it's your dollars that make it possible in so many ways. We ask you to support at whatever level works for you, but support Wisconsin Public Radio with your call to 800-383-9772 or an online pledge at WPR.org.
Have you recently had one of those wah-wah moments with public radio? You know what I'm talking about, where suddenly you go, no way, that is so fill-in-the-blank, cool, enraging, amazing, inspiring. I've had lots of them listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and of course, working here, I get the privilege to enjoy lots of them as well. What about you? When's the last time you heard something that stopped you in your tracks on Wisconsin Public Radio. It really made you think about things, made you mad, made you want to get active. That's worth supporting, and that's why we're here. And it's time for you to support us and help us have one of those wah-wah moments by making the telephone ring and supporting us this hour as we go for $6,000 of your support. You can get it started this morning. You can be the first one to call in this hour, in fact, at 1-800-383-9772.
You decide the amount, whether it's $5 a month, whether it's $10 a month. Maybe you want to join us at the $180 level and not only become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, not only get the member benefit card and all the discounts that come along with it, but also get a copy of the DVD, No End in Sight, the documentary we'll be talking about this hour. Whatever level, though, that you pledge, it's important because it's all of us working together pledging different amounts, whether it's as little as $20 or as much as $1,000 or more. Your pledge is important because it's pooled with thousands of others, and it's that money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio strong. We'd love to welcome you as a new member or thank you for renewing your pledge of support by calling us at 800-383-9772 or pledging online at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772, the number to call. We'll be joining Charles Ferguson in just a moment, but there is time for you to get your pledge of support into Wisconsin Public Radio as you're listening. We thank you for that, and you can also pledge online at WPR.org. And Michael Leland, thank you for coming in this morning.
You're welcome.
Charles Ferguson, we have been talking about your documentary, No End in Sight, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start with a clip from the documentary. This is a voice I think we'll find familiar.
4 years later, after over 3,000 American deaths and over 20,000 American wounded, Iraq has disintegrated into chaos.
Baghdad has 10 bombings, 10, 15 bombings a day, and it's maybe 50 KIA, but I suspect that's drastically underreported. We probably capture a third of what's actually occurring.
I was expecting Donald Rumsfeld there, but we'll be hearing that clip a little bit later on. But that gives a pretty broad sense of the style of the film. It is made up of interviews of many people who are hard to get a hold of. You're talking with General Jay Garner, who briefly ran the reconstruction before being replaced by Paul Bremer, Barbara Bodine, who was placed in charge of the Baghdad embassy, and remarkably Richard Armitage, former deputy secretary of the State Department. Can you tell me how you got access to these people and maybe why they wanted to talk to you?
Well, in some cases, they were very eager to speak with me, and in some cases, these people had been tremendously disturbed and frustrated by what they had seen when they were in the government, in some cases, when they were running the occupation, and were, in fact, dying to speak about it. In other cases, they were much more reluctant. I think that it helped that I had a serious and credible background as a political scientist. I have a PhD in political science, and my thesis advisor had been Deputy National Security Advisor for President Kennedy, and I could speak to them in the language of policy and international relations in a way that I think helped put them at ease about speaking with somebody making a film.
And maybe adding to that, this documentary has been called nonpartisan and clear-eyed, that it's sort of hard to tell where you come down on this. And I gather when you began, or rather I should say when the move toward the occupation of Iraq began, you were supportive.
I was conflicted, but I was certainly sympathetic to the idea in principle of using military force to remove Saddam, yes, partially on regional security grounds, which is ironic given what this has done to the security of the region now, partially because of his, at the time, still believed WMD efforts, and partially on humanitarian grounds.
Well, let's look at the fall of Baghdad. This is something around March 2003, and as you show in your film, there are people there welcoming the American soldiers, chanting Bush's name. If you could freeze frame right there at that moment, were things at least that far going okay?
Well, yes and no. They were going okay in the sense that the situation hadn't yet deteriorated, but they were not going okay in that the United States had not done any of the planning or preparation that would have been required, that was required, in order to make the occupation work in the long run. But it is certainly true that many Iraqis, probably the majority of Iraqis, welcomed the American invasion and were very prepared to make this work.
And one of the things you find out in watching your movie is that if you look at, you compare our occupation of Iraq with World War II and say that before we got involved, we had been preparing for about 2 years a strategic plan there. And in Iraq, you say the administration had about, I think they started their motions after about 2 months.
Yes. The United States spent about 50 days planning the occupation of Iraq, which is really extraordinary. And in contrast, in World War II, in fact, almost as soon as the war began, the Secretary of State set up, in effect, a university to begin training very large numbers of people to administer the occupation of Germany. And that effort went on for over 2 years, and it produced a 600-page manual of how to run occupied Germany. A lot of thought was put into it.
And why do you think that there was this rush there? Why was it 50 days instead of 50 weeks?
You'd have to get into the heads of Donald Rumsfeld and Vice President Cheney and the President in order to answer that question. But it seems as if they just had this extraordinary arrogance about what they could do and about their own judgment, the rightness of their own intuitions and feelings. And it also seems as if they were extraordinarily rigid and did not listen to any advice. In fact, many people warned that this would be a complicated affair and had to be done very carefully, but they were ignored.
Well, after the fall of Baghdad, I remember we started seeing reports of looting, and it was hugely widespread, actually. And you would see U.S. soldiers sort of standing on the street watching and not really interfering at all. And we found out that it was really because the call hadn't been made to move into martial law. The sort of the feeling was that this isn't really our job. That's not why we're here. What happened with that? And why did we decide not to interfere and to keep the order?
We still don't know exactly what happened, and it's not for want of trying. I've tried very, very hard to find out exactly what happened. We do know some things. We know that before the war, the military command did prepare plans for, in effect, declaring martial law and maintaining order and controlling looting. But for reasons that remain unclear, that order was never issued to field commanders. We do know that. We also know that the civilians in the Pentagon, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, were against declaring official martial law because declaring martial law entails certain legal obligations on the part of the occupier that they did not want to have the United States shoulder, because they felt that that was part of the culture of nation building and liberal do-goodism that they didn't want to have anything to do with.
Well, this is beyond, in terms of looting, just a problem of doing good for a country and helping them maintain their order. You consider this sort of one of those key decisions on our part to let this looting continue that really had far-reaching ramifications for Iraq.
It did. It had utterly devastating effects on Iraq and on the prospects for the United States occupation. Looting doesn't really begin to describe what happened in Iraq. A few months before the war, Saddam Hussein freed all of Iraq's criminals, just ordinary common criminals. And so 100,000, and he had not only freed them, he had armed them and when he freed them. And so there were 100,000 criminals with weapons running around. This was also a desperately poor country that had been under sanctions for a decade, and people were on the brink of starvation in many cases. And then on top of that, the United States just sat by and did nothing. And the result was damage that's been estimated at $10 to $15 billion, and a majority, in fact the overwhelming majority, of the essential facilities that the occupation had identified as important to the occupation of Iraq had been destroyed by the looting.
We're talking this hour with Charles Ferguson. He's director and producer of the documentary film No End in Sight, Iraq's Descent into Chaos. He's also author of the corresponding book, which was published last month. No End in Sight won the Sundance Special Jury Prize for Documentaries. Time Magazine's Richard Corliss named it one of the top 10 films of 2007, and it's also been nominated for an Academy Award in the category Best Documentary Feature. Here's a clip.
From January 2003 to January 2005, I was chairman of the National Intelligence Council. We produced the first national estimate on the state of the insurgency in Iraq. The estimate delivered pretty bad news. It basically laid out sort of bad, worse, and worst scenarios. The president called it guesswork, and his press spokesman called it hand-wringing and naysaying. What was really revealing to me was the president hadn't read it.
A clip from the documentary film No End in Sight, Iraq's Descent into Chaos. Talking with director Charles Ferguson this hour. If you'd like to join in the conversation and ask questions about the war in Iraq or your comments on what happened as we trace the line there from the beginning of the fall of Baghdad to the chaos there now, you can call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, in this week for Kathleen Dunn, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Still to come on Wisconsin Public Radio, coming up at 3 o'clock today, join us for Here on Earth, Radio Without Borders. After 3 o'clock on Here on Earth, Jean Faraca talks with the author of 100 Places Every Woman Should Go. That's coming up at 3 o'clock today. I'm Veronica Rickert, back with you, and in today for Kathleen Dunn here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking with Charles Ferguson, director and producer of the documentary film No End in Sight, Iraq's Descent into Chaos. It's been nominated for an Academy Award and has been named one of Time Magazine's top 10 films of 2007. And Charles Ferguson, this is your first documentary, and I wonder what made you want to tell this story.
Well, it really seemed rather obvious. I know a number of people and have known for quite a while, a number of people who are involved in covering the Mideast, working in the Mideast, because they were career military officers, because they were journalists, because they were political scientists, and I began speaking with them after the war, and fairly quickly they told me things really aren't the way they're being portrayed by the administration, or indeed at the time still by the media. And in early 2004, in fact, I approached a number of friends of mine in the film world and in the media with the idea of making the film, and they discouraged me because they said, one thing they said was that 10 other people would be making this movie with just such a large and obvious and important subject, and they would have backing from CNN and the BBC and, you know, film studios and so forth. And so I waited a year, and nobody was making this film. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to make this film.
Well, we have callers waiting to talk to you, I should say, and let's go ahead and take a call from Nate in Madison. Hi, Nate, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to applaud the director on the film. I actually had a chance to watch it on Netflix, where it's available on demand for anybody that has that service and wants to watch it immediately. It's an excellent documentary that really, I feel like, points out the yes-manship of this administration and the frustration of the people that are specialists and experts in this field, of the advice that they were giving that was just blatantly ignored. And I think the most striking comment for me in the entire documentary was the I believe he was a Army sergeant, you know, at the very end of the film he says, you know, don't tell me that this is the best that American can do. No, like, I don't believe that. And I think I just want to applaud you on pulling the wool from our eyes.
Thank you so much for that call, Nate. Charles Ferguson?
Well, I'm grateful for the reaction. The man who speaks at the end of the film, he was at the time a Marine lieutenant. He's now a captain, and he's actually back in Iraq now. He's working for General Petraeus, and he's going to be there for, I think, another 6 months on what we all hope will be his final tour of duty. And he's a remarkable man. He's a very remarkable man.
Well, Nate points to one thing that becomes incredibly clear in your documentary, that the decisions on Iraq were made by a really tiny, rarefied group of people. We're talking about four or five people here, only one of whom had military experience, Donald Rumsfeld, and it was back in the 50s. How did these people get in a position to make these decisions, and how did these decisions go from the group into implementation?
It is an extraordinary thing. To a degree that I think is virtually unparalleled in American history. All of the critical decisions about this war were made by a stunningly small number of people. One can argue as few as three or four. And probably, by the way, not including the president. The picture that emerges from the interviews that I did is of a president who was remarkably disconnected from the decisions being made in his name for at least the first year of the war and occupation.
Well, tell us who the players were.
They were Donald Rumsfeld, Secretary of Defense, Paul Wolfowitz, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Vice President Cheney, and then L. Paul Bremer when he assumed control of the occupation of Iraq in May of 2003. Those men made almost all of the critical decisions about the Iraqi occupation and almost all of the critical mistakes. And only one of them, Secretary Rumsfeld, had ever served in the military at all. None of the others had served in the military at all. And none of them had any post-war reconstruction experience. None of them had any experience with the Mideast, really. None of them had ever lived there. Donald Rumsfeld had visited the Mideast and had actually spoken with Saddam Hussein on behalf of President Reagan in the 1980s, when the United States was supporting Saddam Hussein economically and militarily, but none of them had ever really had serious experience with that part of the world or with what's involved in a post-war occupation. And they made these decisions in a vacuum, without consulting, listening to, paying attention to, working with anybody else, including the military commanders on the ground.
Well, you talk about how the State Department actually wrote volumes on a plan for Iraq, and you pan across them, and there are an incredible amount of materials there that could have been looked at, but you say they were never opened. They were never considered.
They were never considered, and in fact, the director of the Future of Iraq Project, which was the name of that project in the State Department, the director of the Future of Iraq Project was banned from working on the occupation. We think, by Vice President Cheney. Donald Rumsfeld gave the order, and when he gave the order to General Garner prohibiting this man from working in the occupation, he said that it came from a level that made it impossible for him to ignore.
And Bush was disconnected, you say. What was going on there? Why was he out of... He had to pass on this at some point, but why was he not in the decision-making loop?
That's a very good question. Maybe he knew that he was in over his head. President Bush had essentially no foreign policy experience of any kind prior to becoming president. And he apparently trusted and relied extremely heavily on his immediate circle, which is not necessarily an unreasonable thing to do, but in this case doesn't seem to have served him very well. And he seems to have been remarkably uncritical and unthoughtful for quite a long period of time.
Let's go back to the phones now and take a call from Tom in Verona. Hi, Tom. You're on the air.
Well, this just covered what I was going to talk about, the State Department plans. But as an additional question, how come Colin Powell, of all people, was totally frozen out of the process and... how did they keep him out, and wasn't he forceful enough to get in? And then a further troublesome thing is that even to this day, the Defense Department's running foreign policy and things the State Department should do, and it's trying to almost establish a parallel system of international relationships, which has nothing to do with the military, and that's very troublesome to me. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Charles Ferguson?
Well, Colin Powell's role remains somewhat unclear, and he has, for the most part, refused to speak about it. He declined to be interviewed for my film, and he has only spoken about Iraq a few times. It appears as if he did explicitly raise concerns with the National Security Council and with the president, but was outmaneuvered and overridden by a combination of Vice President Cheney and Defense Secretary Rumsfeld. Part of the reason for that might be that Mr. Cheney and Mr. Rumsfeld have known each other and have been good friends for over 30 years, and they seem to have formed an alliance in virtually everything that they said and did, and they're both very good bureaucratic infighters. Colin Powell does not seem to be someone who likes to rock boats. He seems to be somebody who tends to do what he's told. He does seem to have spoken up occasionally, but it doesn't seem as if he ever threatened to resign, and it doesn't seem as if he ever really put his career on the line for what he may or may not have believed before the war.
Well, Richard Armitage does appear in your documentary. Can we assume that he would have done so with Colin Powell's permission?
I don't know. I didn't ask him that question. Mr. Armitage has worked with and has known Colin Powell for a long time, but he also certainly thinks for himself. I don't think that he views himself as Colin Powell's marionette. I don't know whether he spoke with Mr. Powell before agreeing to the interview with me. He also has given very few interviews, and I believe that the interview with me is the only detailed interview about Iraq that he has given to anybody.
Let's go back to the phones, and here's a call from Rob in Radisson. Hi, Rob. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Veronica and Mr. Ferguson, for your documentary. But I had a question. Since only four or five people made the decision, you know, that we're living with today, and only one of them, you said Donald Rumsfeld, had any military training back in the 50s. Does this prove just how broken our system is?
I honestly don't know if I would come to the conclusion that our system is broken. The American people are free to elect as president whoever they choose to elect, and some presidents have had a lot of military experience, some have not. Some presidents without much military experience have nonetheless been able to oversee military operations in an apparently effective way. President Clinton, who never served in the military, oversaw the Kosovo War, which many people have criticized in some regards, but certainly turned out better than Iraq has. I honestly don't know. I certainly think about it. It's very troubling what has occurred. It's very troubling indeed. I think it was also somewhat troubling the way Congress reacted, giving the president and the administration a free pass for quite a long time, even after the severity of problems in Iraq was apparent to many of us.
Well, we haven't touched on one very important point in your documentary when you talk about triggers that would have sent Iraq sort of spiraling downwards. And a big one of these was the decision to disband the Iraqi military, which essentially put on the streets hundreds of thousands of men who were angry and they were armed. It's not a good combination.
Not a good combination would be putting it very mildly. I would say that most people feel, and I think I probably do as well, that the decision to disband the army was the single most disastrous decision made in the American occupation of Iraq. And And that's saying something, because a number of utterly disastrous decisions were made, allowing the looting, debethification, firing 50,000 government officials, inadequate troop levels. You know, there's good competition for disastrous decisions. But this one, which ran counter to the American military's policy, the American military had been preparing to recall 9 to 12 divisions of the Iraqi army to help maintain order in the country. The decision was made unilaterally, secretly, without consulting anybody in Iraq, by L. Paul Bremer and Walter Slocum, his deputy for military affairs, for military policy in Iraq, on May 9, before either man had ever been to Iraq at all. And it meant that we alienated and angered 500,000 men who had access to weapons and who were utterly destitute and impoverished, and in most cases were the sole financial support for large extended families. It would be equivalent to firing 5 to 10 million people in the United States.
And trace for us, if you will, how that translated into the violence.
Well, the Iraqi army had a very large, predominantly Sunni officer corps and a very large, predominantly Shiite conscripted base. And the Sunni officer corps was the most important institution in Iraq, and they were well organized. They were determined, professionally competent military people, and we had essentially told them that they had no future of any kind. And by the way, those at the level of colonel and above were banned from, in addition to being fired, they were also banned from government employment for life. And so we really did an excellent job of making a lot of people very angry at us. And we continued after the disbanding of the army to do that. After the disbanding order was announced, military officers, many Iraqi military officers, approached American military officers. They approached the occupation authority. They approached the United Nations. And they asked to negotiate and for some change to be made in this decision. And they were extremely explicit in warning that if there was no change in this decision, that an insurgency would result. And L. Paul Bremer refused to talk with them, refused to negotiate with them, and we see the result.
Talking this hour with Charles Ferguson. He's the director and producer of the documentary No End in Sight, Iraq's Descent into Chaos. And he's also author of the corresponding book, which was published last month. No End in Sight won the Sundance Special Jury Prize for Documentaries and has been nominated for an Academy Award in the category Best Documentary Feature. If you'd like to join in our conversation this hour, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickert, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. There's lots of great stuff still to come today on Wisconsin Public Radio. After 11, one of the nation's most prolific travelers is Larry Mueller's guest. He's Peter Greenberg, travel editor for The Today Show on NBC and author of The Complete Travel Detective Bible. This hour, we're talking about the documentary No End in Sight, Iraq's Descent into Chaos, the first documentary of its kind to really trace the line between what happened in those months after the fall of Baghdad, the decisions that were made that directly led to the chaos and seemingly endless downward spiral in Iraq right now. And Charles Ferguson, let's go back to the phones and take a call in Dennis in Adams Friendship. Hi, Dennis, you're on the air.
Well, thank you. I've got a question. I watched your movie, and I've listened to other people, neighbors, friends, and I intensely read and watch the news. A president that's done with our president, Ed, you mentioned earlier, people vote for him. Yes, we do vote for him now, with all good intentions. But Mr. Bush didn't do what he said he was going to do when he was elected president. He did a lot of bad things, and we're finding out about this. Is something eventually going to be done, or is Mr. Cheney, Mr. Bush, Rumsfeld, and the rest of them going to go off scot-free after what we're finding out has happened here?
Thank you for that call, Dennis. And Charles Ferguson, what is your sense on what's going to happen?
My sense is that very little is going to happen. Many people have asked me and have raised the question of whether there might be any legal proceedings against the people who made the decisions that led to this situation. I tend to think not, certainly not in the United States. I think there's some possibility that as has been the case, for example, for Henry Kissinger, I think that it's possible that Donald Rumsfeld, L. Paul Bremer, might find it difficult to travel internationally because some foreign countries might start proceedings against them. There are some countries that Henry Kissinger can no longer travel to. I think that might happen. Otherwise, though, I think that it's relatively unlikely that there will be any legal action taken against the people who ran the war.
And Charles Ferguson, I know you have to leave us in a couple of minutes, but I want to ask you what the aftershocks have been in Washington to your film and whether there is any good endgame scenario in Iraq.
Well, many people in Washington have seen the film. The administration has made no public comment. There have been some private comments to the effect that the administration was disturbed and concerned about the political impact of the film. With regard to the future of Iraq, that's a tremendously difficult, complicated question. I just finished a lot of interviewing, asking people about that. Most people are quite pessimistic. Some people think that there is a way that if the United States gradually and intelligently withdraws and also negotiates with all of the important interested parties, including Iran, for example, that there is a way to get a politically negotiated, stable settlement and prevent the country from completely disintegrating into multiple civil wars, not just one. Most people that I speak with, however, are more pessimistic and feel that Iraq has a great deal more suffering to go through before it stabilizes.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate your time, and I wish you all the best at the Academy Awards, too.
Thank you.
We're talking with Charles Ferguson. He is director and producer of the film No End in Sight, Iraq's Descent into Chaos. His film is up for an Academy Award in the category Best Documentary Feature. It's also been named one of Time Magazine's Top 10 Films of 2007 by Richard Corliss. It also won the Sundance Special Jury Prize for Documentaries. A lot to absorb there in the film, and certainly a lot more than we can get to on the radio this morning. But if you'd like to sit down with that film and really take it all in, if you'd like to make a pledge of $180 here to the show, we'd be happy to send you out a copy of that DVD to look at. And I think it's something that people will be talking about for a long time to come. It is seen as one of the more important documentaries in years to come. No End in Sight there. Yours with a pledge of $180 at 1-800-383-9772. It's 1-800-383-9772 or online, WPR.org. And I'm joined in the studio by Michael Leland. Michael, thanks for coming along.
Good morning. Happy to be here. And thank you all for listening to the Kathleen Dunn program here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you to the 9 individuals who have made a decision to support this program and this station with your dollars. We cannot do what we do without your help, so we do appreciate your help. If you're thinking about it, if you've been listening to the conversation with Charles Ferguson about his documentary over the last 35 minutes or so, and if you'd like a copy of it, as Veronica just said, it's available at a pledge of $180. If you just appreciate conversations like this and having an opportunity to listen to and in some cases speak with people who make films like this or people who are involved in the political process or who are involved in science and the arts, and whatever else the Kathleen Dunn program brings to you every day. If you appreciate that and you get something from it, well, how about supporting it with your dollars? Because your dollars are what makes it all happen. 800-383-9772, the number to call, or pledge online at WPR.org. Started out the hour with a goal of $6,000, and we've got about $4,200 remaining in this hour's goal.
William and Susan appreciate the programming like this on Wisconsin Public Radio. They have called us this morning and said, because of the great people you have on, especially Kathleen Dunn, I listen to it all day long. So a shout out there for Kathleen and for the great programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. So thank you to William and Susan. And won't you join them? You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio because you care, because you want to be informed, because you really want to know what matters in the world and what you should be paying attention to. We help you make sense of it all with hours just like the last one with No End in Sight, director Charles Ferguson. That's an important film. And as you're going about your year and talking to people about the politics of the world, you're going to be better informed having heard that conversation. So won't you call and support it and support programs like that? Support Kathleen Dunn's programming and producer Rhonda Fanning and Carmen Jackson. Support Wisconsin Public Radio at 1-800-383-9772. And we're joined now by Rhonda Fanning back from the production booth. Hi, Rhonda.
Good morning. Call now, 800-383-9772. This hour only, for a pledge of $180, you're going to get a copy of the film as well as the Wisconsin Public Radio membership card. And it's a film that's going to keep this conversation going. You're going to receive it in the mail. You're going to watch it. You're going to invite friends over, neighbors, family members. You're going to pass it around. It's going to keep this conversation going, like so many other programs on Wisconsin Public Radio. 800-383-9772, or you can take a few minutes and log on to our website. It's safe, it's secure, it'll only take you a few moments at WPR.org.
And I just want to read you some of the things that people are saying about No End in Sight. This is a quote from Time Magazine. Richard Schickel of Time Magazine has says, "Prepare to be riveted. No End in Sight, Charles Ferguson's first film, is without question the most important movie you are likely to see this year." And Ebert and Roper gave it two big thumbs up. Essential viewing, they call it, for any patriot. "I love this film because I love my country." And you love your country and Wisconsin Public Radio. That's why you listen. You want to know what's going on in your country, what's going on in the world. And guests like this, which really bring the world to you right there in your home and connect you with it. You can pick up your phone and talk to Charles Ferguson. That's quite a resource there for the people of Wisconsin and for our guests to talk to you as well. That's worth supporting this hour, and it is a special hour. It's a great hour to call, and we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-383-9772, or why not pledge online, WPR.org.
If you've been thinking, maybe I could afford $15 a month for Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe that fits into my budget, well, that'll make you a sustaining partner and ongoing gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. $15 a month. Set that up maybe on a credit card or electronic funds transfer, and you'll be pledging at the $180 level, which also gets you a copy of No End in Sight. Also gets you the member benefit card, which comes to you automatically at that pledge level. And you know that you're doing your part for something that that you rely on, a program you probably listen to every day, because you're going to hear conversations like the one we just heard with people like Charles Ferguson, or an opportunity to talk to Candy Crowley of CNN, which we did last hour, who's covering the presidential campaign. Think of what you've learned from this program over the months and over the years. That's worth something. You've decided it's worth your time. It should be worth your dollars, too, because your dollars make it happen. 800-383-9772, the number to call, or pledge online at WPR.org. We've got about 6 minutes remaining in this hour, and about $4,000 to go to reach this hour's goal.
1-800-383-9772. It all starts with your phone call. Once you've decided how much you'd like to pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe $50 if you're just getting your feet wet, or if you're a real tried and true listener and you can afford it and it works in your budget, maybe consider a pledge of $500. How you can do it, you make that phone call and you can talk to a volunteer in Pledge Central and figure out how you'd like to take care of paying your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio, would you like to do it all at once, or would you like to break it down into monthly installments? Maybe a credit card. We do take all the major credit cards. Or you could become a sustaining partner with an ongoing monthly gift with a credit or debit card, electronic funds transfer, just a plethora of options there. We make it so easy for you to become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio and to make it something that works out in your budget as well. And when you call, give us a comment or two. Tell us how you think we're doing. Tell us if you think there's something you'd like to hear more of. Just say, hey, Kathleen, we miss you. You can do that, too, by calling at 1-800-383-9772 and support this program.
And a call this hour is going to get you a copy of that DVD, Charles Ferguson's documentary that just got nominated for an Oscar, The No End in Sight. $180 this hour only. We only have a couple of minutes left. And say thank you to Kathleen Dunn for all of the programs that she has done leading up to the war in Iraq and since then, and covered the surge. Updates, bringing you pretty much weekly updates on the war. Because you come to expect this kind of conversation, because you respect Kathleen and Veronica and Joy Cardine and Ben Marins, please call now. A couple of minutes left for that DVD at $180 level. 800-383-9772 is that phone number, and it'll just take a couple of minutes. You can talk to one of our volunteers who are eager to get your call. 800-383-9772.
Or you can always pledge online. You can save some paper there at WPR.org. You know, the world has really gone mobile, and a lot of people are now downloading the programs from Wisconsin Public Radio like this one onto their iPods or on their computers to listen to at home. Or, you know, you can take it to the gym with you besides just the car. And Wisconsin Public Radio is really uniquely suited to that. We really go along with you. We fit into your life. And it can be easier to just grab your iPod and turn on your radio than it is to kind of fool with a magazine or a newspaper. Certainly you don't want to do that while you're driving. And you come to depend on the fantastic programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio, our commitment to bringing you trusted news and innovative guests. And this is the time to support that and help us get through and become healthy and strong and go into the next few months feeling good about that. And Kathleen will feel good when she gets back, too, to know that her show is doing well and that you're supporting it. It all starts with your call this morning at 1-800-383-9772 or pledge online, WPR.org.
You know you're going to have wonderful guests on the Kathleen Dunn program, and that's probably one reason why you listen. People like Charles Ferguson, who've made what many consider to be a very important film. Yesterday, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, was on this program, and the list goes on. You've been listening for a while, I would imagine, and you know what the program brings you every day, a better understanding of the world around you, and makes you a more informed person, whether it's more informed about world events or more informed about presidential candidates. All of that is worth your time. You made that decision because you're listening now. Well, it should be worth your dollars as well, because your dollars and the dollars of so many others are what makes this and everything else on Wisconsin Public Radio happen. Just a couple of minutes to go, and just around $2,000 or so remaining on this hour's goal, so we can take care of that bit of business as you take care of your membership with a phone call to 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
And don't forget, when you pledge at the $180 level, not only do you get the DVD No End in Sight, but you also get the member benefit card, which you'll enjoy if you like to dine out. You get 2-for-1 entrees at various restaurants across the state, 2-for-1 admission to museums and performances, and even to get out of town, kind of make a weekend of it, 2 nights for the price of 1 at bed and breakfast. So there's a lot of value, stuff you're going to enjoy as you support Wisconsin Public Radio. You enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio, though, the most, and that is why you should be calling right now to say, hey, I do support Wisconsin Public Radio and Kathleen's show. I'm grateful for it, and, well, yeah, as long as you're asking, I would like to see that documentary, too. So that's at the $180 level, No End in Sight there, the member benefit card, and the DVD. So give us a call. We're getting close to the top of the hour here. The number, 1-800-383-9772.
That's right. Kathleen's show, we not only have guests on that are changing the world, the policymakers, the former presidents, Jimmy Carter, Madeleine Albright, but we also have guests on who report on the news, who write the headlines, such as Charles Ferguson today, who wrote that or made that documentary. Veteran journalists such as Sander Van Oker have been a guest, Gwen Ifill, Jim Lehrer of the NewsHour. Because you come to expect this type of programming, this is the perfect hour to call in. And at that $180 level, you will get a copy of Charles' film, No End in Sight. So please call. You can continue to pledge through the news to get a copy of that DVD. And the number is 800-383-9772.
And Martha in Pewaukee said, Wisconsin Public Radio is just part of my life. It's part of your life, too. That's why you're listening now during a pledge drive. You depend on the information and the company that you get here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Pledging is easy. It's quick. It only takes a couple of minutes, and we never give your information to anybody else. So it's really win-win. You win because you get the programming, and we win because you support us. Everybody wins when you start with your call to 1-800-383-9772. Just a couple of minutes left to go.
$1,800 remaining on this hour's goal. We'll get there with your help. Your phone call, one call at a time, one decision at a time, to call 800-383-9772, online at WPR.org. Any amount makes you a member. $180 pledge gets you the DVD from Charles Ferguson, No End in Sight. We've been talking about that this past hour. But a pledge of any amount goes a long way toward making everything you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. You listen to it. It's a part of your life. You rely on it to some extent, and you should be supporting it as well, because we couldn't do everything we do without your help. 800-383-9772 or online at WPR.org.
It really is a little bit of magic. Your pledged dollars that you give to support Wisconsin Public Radio turn into great radio. It's magic for everyone. It's a partnership that makes us both strong, and you should contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio because you listen to it and you love it and because we depend on you. So $180 will get you that DVD, No End in Sight, and our member benefit card. So we thank you very much for that, and I thank you, Michael and Rhonda.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio.